Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Welcome back to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Of course, if you have to miss part of the interview or you want to re-listen to the interview, we do podcast the shows from tomorrow. You will catch it on the Chai FM website. So we're talking food. We're talking specifically when it comes to going through cancer treatment and post-cancer treatment. I have Megan Atchison, who's a registered dietitian, on the show to unpack and talk more about it. Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks so much for having me again.
Really lovely to have you back on the show. So let's talk nutrition. Let's talk about the kind of food we should be perhaps avoiding, the kind of food we should be eating. And of course, you know, we often talk about when you are going through specific treatment, it does affect the appetite, and you don't really feel like eating, but the nutrients are really important. So let's start off with the basics. When you're going through treatment, what should you be doing to equip your body in the best possible way?
So Nikki, when facing a cancer diagnosis, you know, treatment often becomes the central focus. And it could be your chemo, your surgery, your radiation, immunotherapy, or most people have a combination of them. And what often happens is that nutrition gets overlooked. You know, what we eat and how well we are nourished can play a significant role, not only in how our bodies cope with the treatment, but also in, you know, recovery and your quality of life afterwards. And cancer puts a lot of stress on the body. So a lot of patients start to have unintentional weight loss, fatigue. They have changes in their appetite and multiple side effects like nausea, loss of taste, or difficulty swallowing. And it makes it quite hard to actually meet the body's needs. In fact, we've seen some research that shows that patients need about double the protein during their cancer treatment and even up to a year afterwards. So we often look at protein, we look at meeting energy needs, we look at maintaining their strength and energy through food, and we also look at different vitamins and minerals that help to support their immunity.
So interesting, the protein discussion, right? Because all of a sudden people are talking a lot more about protein. And I think that let's unpack the whole idea of the protein, because, you know, there's good protein and there's bad protein. And I suppose the quality of the protein is really, really important. You don't want to be consuming protein that has steroids in, that's, you know, that could have a negative effect. Perhaps we can talk about that a little bit, Megan.
Yes, definitely. So with protein, we get two different types of proteins. We get your animal sources of protein, and then you get your plant-based sources. So your animal sources are obviously anything that's related to your dairy, your chicken, your fish, your red meat. And when it comes to the animal side of things, we try to encourage patients to avoid any type of processed meats. So your polony, Viennas, ham, sausages. So from that aspect, those proteins are the ones that have been shown to increase your risk of your colorectal cancers. And then if we have a look at red meat has also been linked to cancer. So we definitely try to encourage patients to eat more of your chicken, more your fish, to get the omega-3s in it. And then we also encourage your eggs, as well as low-fat dairy sources, like your cottage cheese, your low-fat milks, also things like your yogurt. Those are great sources of protein, and they're complete protein sources. And then on the other side, we get our plant-based proteins. And those are things like your beans, lentils, chickpeas, hummus, falafel, your nuts, your seeds, your tofu. And those are also great sources of protein. And we do try to encourage patients to have more of a plant-based a lifestyle because of all the fiber, the vitamins, the minerals. And a lot of those proteins actually reduce risk for cancer because they've got high fiber, polyphenols, and they're just a wonderful source of nutrition that is great for the body. So we tend to try and encourage them to have more of the plant-based, but a balance with some animal proteins as well.
Okay. So when it comes to that, I'm always interested in, you can buy tinned chickpeas, for example, and then you can buy the chickpeas that you would soak or the lentils that you would soak overnight and cook. What do you have to say about that?
So look, Nikki, everyone has a busy lifestyle, and to tell a patient or anyone, especially someone's going through chemo, that they must go and boil your lentils and your beans for a few hours and even soak them before is not often sustainable for patients. If you want to do that, absolutely perfect. But if you just take your tinned bean or lentil, rinse it, so rinse that little bit of salt water off, it's just as healthy, it's just as nutritious, and it's also quick and easy to add to most of your meals.
Okay. So thank you for that. So are you definitely leaning, you're saying, you know, animal protein, good, but the plant protein, there are so many benefits to the plant protein. You also mentioned minerals. So let's talk about minerals, because if we look at the quality of food and we look at the, you know, when we talk about all the minerals in the soil that we used to have that we simply don't have anymore, which is why we supplement so much, what do you have to say about that? And should you, if you are going for treatment, should you be taking in more minerals? And perhaps unpack what the minerals are.
So that's a tricky question, because often what we do is we want to look at the patient individually. So we want to do their bloods, and we want to check their vitamin D levels. We want to check, I'm just thinking, your calcium, your magnesium, your iron. And if we're looking at those vitamins and minerals, if someone is lacking in something, then we will often prescribe them to have a vitamin D, or we might need to give them some iron. But if someone doesn't have a deficiency, then we don't recommend just taking any supplement on the market. We still want to try and get their vitamins and minerals directly from food. So that's really where we look first.
And would you say that a person who is diagnosed and who's going to go for treatment, whether it's chemotherapy, immunotherapy, radiation, that they should perhaps go and have bloods and see what their current state is like? I mean, we never really talk about that, but is that something that you would recommend?
Yes, it's definitely something that I recommend. And often the doctors do bloods prior to chemotherapy or immunotherapy. But sometimes if patients start radiation, they don't always have bloods done. And then we find that their energy levels are low, and often it's blamed on the treatment. And then we actually do blood tests, and their vitamin D is low. So we then kind of know that let's try and supplement your vitamin D, and often their energy levels improve and they have better treatment side effects, and they often feel a lot better and stronger. So we do encourage patients. I don't think it's encouraged enough though to do the vitamins and minerals.
Yeah, and it really would make sense, because, you know, when you're feeling stronger and you're going through the treatment, you know, that would just make it, you know, what is already very challenging, a little bit easier.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, Megan, also with the specific treatment. So we know that chemotherapy, and we know how effective it can be, but we do know that there are side effects. And I'm wondering if And I know there's so many different types of chemo and radiation, are there specific types that you can mention to us that you know offhand that, for example, that particular chemotherapy would maybe drain more vitamin D, maybe calcium, maybe affect the bones, and therefore you should be increasing that? Is it as easy as that or not really?
It's not that easy, Nikki, to say, because they all have different side effects. And, you know, sometimes you get put on a chemo tablet, let's say, for example, tamoxifen, and that often puts the body into a menopause, which also can increase your risk for osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. So I usually do recommend that the patients do a bone density scan, which also sometimes doctors are not always recommending. And recently I just had a patient that we sent for a bone density, and we found that she really was a high risk for osteopenia, osteoporosis. And that is the type of person then we want to be supplementing early on, and talking about resistance training and strength bearing exercises. So you do get more of the critical population that we look out for. But I still think in general, most patients, we need to be doing a baseline, and then perhaps maybe after 3 months, after 6 months, and we check how they're doing. With populations, especially with darker skin, they tend to not absorb as much vitamin D from the sun. So those patients are also my critical patients, and I always send them for a vitamin D test. And recently we just sent someone who started chemo, and her vitamin D levels were sitting at about 5. And she was really had no energy. She was fatigued. And she actually got a foodborne illness because her immune system was so low.
Wow.
And her vitamin D had never been checked. So now that we can supplement it, we're hoping that her immune system improves and her treatment side effects are a lot less. So it does. It really plays a big role.
So important, really. It is. I mean, and you know, with vitamin D, it can also affect your mood, right? So it's the mood, it's the everything, it's so 100%. Many areas. I really the importance of what you're eating supporting you on that journey. We're going to take a quick break, Megan. After the break, let's talk about post-treatment nutrition, if it changes at all. We'll be right back. And by the way, Megan, I don't know if you do have your radio on in the background. There just seems to be a bit of an echo. If you do have, if you can switch that off, that would be super. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. This is the Deal Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. I must just apologize. We've had a few sound issues on the show today. Thank you for hanging in there. And I believe there's quite an echo. So just one more question for Megan and then we'll say goodbye. And really, Megan, I said before the break, you know, when it comes to post-cancer treatment, does the diet change? Should you be adding something to help the body recuperate? You spoke about an immune system. We spoke about the bone density and many, many more areas. Is it a one size fits all? Again, would you look at having bloods and seeing what has happened post-treatment?
So nutrition still remains important post recovery and beyond, and many cancer survivors need the extra support to rebuild strength and restore their weight and heal from the side effects that are still lingering. And like I mentioned earlier, we're still going to focus on a well-balanced diet. We're going to focus on their protein and anything that can help reduce their fatigue, improve digestive health, and support long-term well-being. It's going to be individualized to the patient.
You know, Megan, I think that it's been such an important conversation. I think that a diagnosis, you know, your world is turned upside down and you go into treatment and steps ahead. And sometimes what you're eating isn't as important. And I think that after this conversation, we've got to see that it's very, very important to support you. But really what I took away from this was the importance of having bloods done and just seeing where you are, because you could have at diagnosis, you could have had a lack of something, and that could potentially impact how you move through your treatment, how you feel, your energy levels, your immune system. So I think it's been so valuable, Megan. And I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Appreciate it.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you. Megan Acheson, who's a registered dietitian, and Megan focuses specifically in oncology and looking at nutrition, I would say before, during, and after. So I hope that you've taken that really important point, you know, looking at your bloods before. It's possibly, as I said, the last thing, you know, your doctor's looking at your bloods, but, you know, are you looking in terms of moving forward for your nutrition?